Just when I think I've heard it all, I hear something new. To get to heaven, some will say, here's what you'll have to do. Take the preacher's hand, join his little band, and you'll hear the glory bells ring. Well, I like what I've got, though modern it's not. It's still good enough to get through. Make mine the real thing, the kind that makes sinners sing. That blood washed my soul, and though I was nothing, God made me His own. Don't offer me substitutes. The old rugged cross will do. A Lamb crucified and His blood applied. That's how I'll get through. We don't see many tears, sad broken hearts, and that's such a mystery to me. How something as big as a new birth takes place with no sign of a sinner set free. Oh, but that's not the ways of our modern days. So many new ways to get in. Just give me a love all covered with blood, and let me shout victory. Make mine the real thing, the kind that makes sinners sing. That blood washed my soul, and though I was nothing, God made me His own. Don't offer me substitutes. The old rugged cross will do. A Lamb crucified and His blood applied. That's how I'll get through. A Lamb crucified and His blood applied. That's how I'll get through. How I'll get through.
Hey, Ben, God bless you. Wonderful. Two of those boys just got married, and they both singing hoarse. That's because they've been stinking kissing too much. That ain't fooling me. I like no kind of kissing y'all doing. I want to talk to y'all about that. And the third one's not married. He's hoarse, too, and we will investigate that when we get back to college. It's been a joy already to be here, and boy, I've enjoyed it so much. And thank you so very much for the invite, Dr. Cole and Dr. Angel. And Faith Baptist Church, y'all have been more than a friend to our ministry and Providence Baptist College. Thank you so much for sharing your preaching with us for ever since the inception of Providence, 16 years, I guess. He's been driving out once a week to do that, and it's been a blessing. Now, our boys know theology, they know doctrine, but they know how to preach too, because Dr. Angel teaches them how to preach. And that's a wonderful thing. And thank you, Brother Angel, for your sacrifice and all that you have done. You'll never know the impact this side of eternity that you're having on those guys, and I certainly appreciate it. Brother Coral, thank you for your wonderful ministry. I call Brother Coral the soul vacuum cleaner. If you have a big day and have Brother Coral out, you'll even want to get saved again. He was with us on Sunday. I think we had, 53, I think, walked the aisle on Sunday. But, he's a vacuum cleaner. Boy, you get them there lost, they're going to get saved, I promise you. I was trying to get some of my staff saved, but they just refused. But anyway, our country's in trouble, isn't it? It really is. 1977, we had Bruce Jenner on the box of Wheaties. 2014, he's now on Fruity Pebbles. That's what we got going on in our nation. The danger to America is not Obama, but the citizenry that is capable of entrusting a man like him to his presidency. Blaming the Prince of Fools should not blind anyone from the vast confederacy of fools that made him their prime. A republic can survive an Obama, who is, after all, merely a fool. It is less likely to survive the multitude of fools such as those who made him their president. And just a while we'll pray. If you're a Democrat, you can sit out the back and we'll pray. Things that a you'll never hear a Southern boy ever say. Or a Cajun. When I retire, I'm moving up north. You ain't gonna never hear a Southern say that. Say amen, Brother Rusty Silvertooth. My wife loves Brother Rusty Silvertooth. What a name, Rusty Silvertooth. She told me, the first time we met, Brother, she said, what was his mama thinking when she named him that? I said, that's my chair. You'll never hear a Southern boy say, I'll take Shakespeare for 1,000, Alex. You'll never hear a Southern boy say, duct tape won't fix that. You'll never hear him say, I don't keep firearms in this house. You'll never hear him say, you can't feed that to that dog. You'll never hear him say, that car too old and unsafe to drive. You'll never hear him say, wrestling is fake. We're vegetarians. Or, do you think my gut's too big? Never hear a Southern boy say that. Honey, we don't need another dog. Never hear him say that. You'll never hear him say, who gives a care who won the Civil War? Southern boy never say that. In fact, we're still fighting it. Say amen right there. I've been a missionary up here for 30 plus years. Don't freeze up on me, Yankees. I'm just get fixing to freeze. He shot my great-great-grandfather in the back. The Civil War. Why in the back? He was running, you fool. That's why. Y'all had guns. We had corn cobs. We ran out of corn cobs, and y'all won the war, and look who you got for the president. All right. Move on. Never hear a Southern boy say, give me a small bag of pork rinds. You got too many deer heads on the wall, distract from the decor. Never hear him say that. Never hear him say, just couldn't find it at Walmart. Or, trim that fat off that steak. Or, cappuccino tastes better than espresso. Never hear a Southern boy say that. Or, the tires on that truck are too big. You'll never hear him say, I got it all on my C drive. Unsweetened tea tastes better. Or, my fiance, Zelda May, is registered at Tiffany's. You'll never hear a Southern boy say, checkmate. You'll never hear him say, hey, here's an episode of Hee Haw I hadn't seen. Or you never hear a Southern boy say, no, I don't have a favorite college team. Or you never hear him say, you guys. When I moved up here, son, you folks had to try to teach me another language, but I still say y'all. You might take my Southern away from me, but you ain't going to take my accent away. And the number one thing that you'll never hear a Southern boy say, nope. No more for me. I'm driving. Ephesians chapter 5 in your Bibles, please. Ephesians chapter 5. What good preaching we had this morning. Bless my soul. Wonderful. Let's stand one more time, just a little bit. I'll try to do as best I can and get Brother Coral up right away. What a wonderful preacher he is. And always does a wonderful job. Feeds your soul. I like what Joe Boyd said one time. He said, you hang around Dr. Coral, he'll teach you something. And that's the truth. Pick it up in verse 16, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Father, I feel a bit behind the eight ball tonight after hearing the two wonderful messages we heard today, the three wonderful messages and two concerning this matter. Of the power of God, the face of God, the unseen hand of God. Father, it seems like you've settled this message with me several weeks ago, and I want to obey you. And I pray, Father, please, that you would do your work in our lives and speak through me to these that are here. Have their time not to be wasted. Have me, Lord, to speak with clarity. Freshen a dull mind. Help a weary body. And I pray, Lord, something would happen in this place tonight that's real and everlasting. How often we come to services and we just leave because it's our religious duty. Father, I pray that tonight something would transpire in the lives of some folks in this room that would make the difference in their life forever, and with some for eternity. So I pray that you'd bless and help now. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness, for your good grace. Pray that you'd bless the good preachers that are here tonight and the good laymen, Lord, that make it all happen. Bless them, please, I pray. We ask in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to make several statements. I'm preaching a little while tonight. First of all, we are living in wicked days, and a Christian is not filled with the Holy Spirit of God will become a castaway. There's some of us have been in this thing long enough to know and understand that there's some that flop out and drop out, and there's a reason why, and I believe that I have my finger on it tonight. I believe it's because they have not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's the will and command of God that every Christian be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not an option that we might opt out of it. God said, and we just read it a while ago, that we should be filled, and be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not in God's will, because that's what He said we ought to do. Hence, we are sinning against God. If you're not in God's will, you're sinning against God. Now, the problem with this is that we try to categorize sin, and me being saved out of Roman Catholicism, we have a problem with that. Sometimes we categorize sin. And when I got into the Baptist situation, when I got saved and got into Baptist churches, I found that Baptists do a lot of that too. We categorize sin. We want to point at some of the outward sin that we're involved in and talk about how wicked it is, but we want to talk about these spiritual sins that are sometimes even more wicked. When God Almighty commands us to be filled with the Spirit, you must understand, if you're not, you're sinning against a holy God, and this sin is exceedingly wicked. I want you to look at verse 18 one more time. He says that we're not, the Lord's will is that we're not. Look what he said, verse 16. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning my will. This is my will, that you be filled. Not drunk, but filled. Not drunk, but filled. It is a life of continual control by the Holy Spirit. The only option to the Spirit-filled life is a life of continual backsliding. The reason we have watched people that are in the will of God doing wonderful in our churches many times, Brother Angel, and then we see them begin to slide back and then eventually flop out and drop out, is because they fail to maintain this matter of a continued Spirit-filled life. It's not something that's weird. It's not something that's strange. It's something that God commands us to do. And so I want you to notice in verse 18 very quickly now, there's a negative and a positive. The negative is, be not drunk with wine. I don't want to even dwell there too much, but it's a crying shame is how much wine sipping we got going on in our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches. Don't freeze up on me now. I'm telling you right now, it's going on all over. And people are trying to justify that stuff. My book says, don't do that. Don't do that. That's a negative. Don't be drunk with wine. The positive is, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to look at the negative first for a little while. I want you to look at it. Be not drunk with wine holds the key to understanding the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul uses drunkenness to illustrate some things about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Come on up here, Brother May. Come on up here right here. Brother May is a professor. He's a member of our church. He's a college professor. I'm trying to straighten him out. Get all that public education out of him, but he's doing wonderful. Here is a man. This man then takes this bottle of booze. He knows there's something in that glass that has the power to control him. He understands that. He's thirsty. He's willing to take it in his body. He's not ignorant of its effect upon him. Say amen right there, you ex-drunks. You know that to be true. We knew that it was going to affect us. It enters in bloodstream, and when enough is taken in, strange things will happen to his metabolism. His metabolism will be affected. When the intoxicated blood reaches the brain, his whole thinking will change. This is why we can take a 95-pound weakling in a bar room, give him a few drinks, and he thinks he can whoop Goliath. Say amen right there. Changes his whole thinking. That man is alcohol-filled. He is controlled by what he's full of. He is saturated, he is intoxicated, and can stay that way if he continues to drink. This man may continue for days or weeks, months. I've seen him do that. And he'll begin to see and hear things and experience things that nobody else, listen carefully, sees, hears, or experiences. And God said, don't do that. Don't be drunk, but be filled. I said one more time that the key to understanding verse 18 was the first part, the negative, and be not drunk. And what the Lord's saying, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be a lot like that drunk man. That's why some of us see things and hear things and experience things others don't do. Because there's something about that when God comes down and meets with us and speaks to us and fills us, He shows us things that He's not showing some people because they're not Spirit-filled. God said, be not drunk. It holds the key to understanding. But He said, be filled. Thank you, Doc. I appreciate it. You don't drink anymore, do you? All right. I do. But He said, be filled. Look at now, this verse is teaching it is wrong to be drunk, and it's just as wrong not to be filled. Y'all listen to me very carefully right now. You don't like what I'm saying. You may not even agree with what I'm saying. That's fine with me. But you listen to me very carefully. Right now, in this auditorium, every born-again Christian, it is wrong for you to be here and not be Spirit-filled as me to be drunk in this pulpit tonight. And I don't know why I'm thinking. See, I can't get amens out of that, but that's what the verse is teaching. Exactly what it's teaching. And I don't know why I'm thinking, if y'all came up here and talked to me and y'all smell alcohol in my breath, you'd say, what have you been up to, man? Banaka. Anyway, they would tell me no. I know these two men well enough. But I'd be upset, man, we're going to have a great time tonight. Y'all remember we honored Dr. Green. You remember that all those years ago at the conference? And I went out to set a deer stand. You got to do that when you get opportunity. I had a couple minutes before the national conference. We honor y'all. Give you a plaque. Cut my finger off. They gave me some pain pills. The next day I came to the conference. I don't take pills. I don't take aspirins. And they gave me some pain pills. Oxycodone. Say amen right there, man. I done discovered something. You better say amen. Oxycodone. And do you remember that? And cut my finger. Now, busted all these, broke all these up. It hurts stinking bad. And they gave me enough that night, and they told me, they said, we can't fit you in a hospital room. I said, well, just cut that bone off and put together and sew it back. He said, well, that's exactly what we'll do. He said, you make a good doctor. I said, I am Dr. Goldman. Anyway, so. And I said, well, I can't. Well, come first thing in the morning. I can't. I got a conference. He said, you're crazy. I said, no, I got a conference. I got to go to that. I said, I'll come, let's see, what was it? I'll come by 1:30, 2 o'clock. So I was going to do it. But they had juiced me up that night. Boy, I slept good. And I stayed juiced up until the college choir sang. And they stood up there and sang. And I'm back there, Randy Taylor sitting next to me. And boy, they sing, and all of a sudden that thing hit me. Oh. I was in such pain, I just couldn't believe it. And I tried to get the pill box. They make them pill things. Nobody can. I mean, bomb. A terrorist couldn't get it open with a bomb. I was trying to get the thing. My fingers were all broken. I'm trying to get that thing open. I just slid to the doc. I said, open that thing. He said, what is it? I said, I don't know, pain pill. I said, give me two of them. I took two, doc. After the choir sang, somebody else preached, and all of a sudden I'm going, hey! I stood up, I said, I've never enjoyed a service more in my life. That's in the spirit, brother. I was in the spirit. It was crazy, man. But if I came up here drunk, you can't tell me that these men would not say, you're not getting in that pulpit. I don't care. I'm getting in there. They would get me out of here. He would call his ushers and they'd say, you get out of here. You're not even welcome on the church premises. And yet we will not in this room admit when God Almighty commands us to be filled that it's sin. We just won't. You wonder why we got folks that come cantankerous and they critique preachers instead of coming to be blessed and helped by him? That's why. That's no spirit filled. You mean to tell me that we got saved by the grace of God and the Spirit of God came in and dwelt us and the Spirit of God wrote this book and the Spirit of God's supposed to be in you and those three don't bear witness? That's why people get mad and that's why people leave church and that's why people don't win souls and that's why we have people dropping out and flopping out of our Sunday schools and our buses because of no spirit fullness. Be not drunk. Be you filled. You think a deacon would be wicked if he walked in this church tonight shaking hands at the door and we'd be drunk, we'd dismiss him. We would think that the deacon that would stand up there and breathe in people's face and you could smell it on his breath. And everybody said, man, what does Brother Angel have going on here? And yet there's deacons all over churches, all over this place that are not spirit-filled. And my book says that that deacon's qualification is much like a pastor. And we got deacons out there that's not been spirit-filled. They're not doing their duty. And yet the truth of the matter is they don't think they're that bad. Isn't that a great sermon? Great truth. And the reason we're not seeing revival, as this man desires, and many men desire, in this country, and we better see something happen, or this place, you can hang a crepe on it, pray. You got folks out there get mad at anything. Can't preach against anything. People get mad. God help us if we ever hold too close to the plant. There was a day in our fundamental independent Baptist movement that you'd preach on sodomy. And everybody shout amen. You don't anymore because your son or daughter or your kinfolk's wrapped up in it. And you get mad at us preaching against sin. How sad that is. Which means that if you have some other loved one that's wrapped up in some sin, like maybe booze, maybe we shouldn't preach against that because you'll get mad about that. What you're trying to do is paint preachers in a corner not to preach against sin because some of your kinfolk are living in it. It's still sin. But boy, you can amen that. But you'll not amen what I'm talking about right now. No spirit fullness is sin. I personally believe that no spirit fullness for the Christian is just as bad as me going down the barroom over here and getting drunk tonight. Now see, it got quiet there. But that's what he's talking about right there. Don't be drunk. Be filled. We have teachers that teach in our Christian school and never one time pray for the class, never one time pray for the Spirit's fullness. They stand before the class, they give their little lecture, and they give their little lesson, and that's it. And that's why we're not seeing changed lives with our own Christian schools. We're having them come to our Christian school, flip their tassel, walking straight out of the will of God, going to drugs and sex and everything else because no Spirit fullness. We've got preachers that go to pulpits all the time, never one time, begging God for His fullness to help His people. I'm talking about on your face before you preach and say, dear God, please, you must do something today. I can't go to that pulpit empty. I can't go by myself. You must go with me, and I will not go out there unless you go with me. Beg Him before you walk out. We used to have that. We sense that holy dew that settled on our service at times, and I've been it in services. I've been where Harold Sightler preached, and you could almost cut it with a knife, the atmosphere. I've been with the Tom Malones when I rolled with him, and he preached on that lost axe head. And there I was under a tent, my head buried in a hay bale, trying to find the axe head. Bless God, I didn't even have the handle. I'm looking for the whole axe. Oh, God, help me. He talked about a lost axe head. Dear God, I don't even know if I have the axe. Help me. Come by and slap me on the back. Come on, Keith, I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I'm sitting there sobbing, crying, getting in the back seat of a car, and he's joking, laughing. I'm sobbing all the way to the motel. Got on my face to the motel, still trying to find that axe head. I've been in those services. I've been in the services where Jack Hiles preached on fresh oil, and it was so thick in the pastor's school where it seemed like you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. Been there. We have our little service now. We exegete the scriptures a little bit and go home, and we feel good about ourselves. Never one time doing an introspection saying, "Dear God, am I really on this thing or not? Am I just kind of floating around, just kind of being a nominal Christian?" I want you to look at the word fill real quickly. It means to wholly take possession of, to control, to fill full. Be not drunk, but be filled. You know, I can take that glass of water right there, and I can drink it all. And you can say, "Preacher, now the glass is empty," but it's not. It's full of air. And if I were to pour water in there and fill it up, it is now displacing what was in it before. Are you listening now? And when we pour the water into it, it displaces whatever was previously in the glass. And when a Christian is filled with the Spirit, it displaces what the Christian was full of to start with. Let me tell you where we're at right now. We're full of ourselves. We're so narcissistic. It's all about us, bless God. We get our nose bent out of joint about anything. We got offended Christians, thumb-sucking Christians. They can't get over nothing. They're always whining and crying and pointing their finger at somebody, blaming somebody else. No spirit fullness. We're finicky, man. Sissified fundamentalists. We can't revival because we're not going to have enough men to handle revival. We have men to really get a hold of God and understand that I can have this spirit fullness. It's no secret. It's not for the men of old. It's not for the Don Greens and the Bob Smiths and the Bob Buchanans. It's not just for them. It's for all of us. And all of you laymen, too. I didn't get this thing down, man, when I became a pastor. I was on my face in a Sunday school room when Bob Smith was a pastor. I got in my face on a Sunday school room and said, "Dear God, please do something with me. Live my life for the devil all these years. And now you save this wretched boy. Reach down as deep as a man could reach and pull me out. I don't want to waste the rest of my life. 20 years I lived like that. I don't live like that no more. Get me out of that. Do something to me." Had one of my old football buddies, old Indian, full-blooded Indian, mean as a snake. He was an outside linebacker. I was running back and other side linebacker. Remember, we got saved about the same time. We got saved at the United Pentecostal Church over there, Brother Buchanan Young, whatever his name was. And he told me, he said, "I just got saved." And he said, "Why don't you come over and eat?" We used to play football all the time. That guy was a mean sucker, man. Tough. He'd hit, and he'd hit so hard, all of us would, because you could stick in the numbers then. Not this sissified football now. God help us, man. I wish he'd play it then, because I'm hurting, man. I am hurting now. And he'd hit so hard, he'd stun himself, and he'd go paralyzed. He'd messed up his neck bad. Anyway, we're over there. Now we both say we're out of high school and had some scholarship offer and all that stuff. And anyway, so we eat and he goes, "Hey, man, I heard you got saved." He said, "I got saved." He said, "You know, I did all that salvation stuff." He said, "Man, but you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues?" That's why I did a little Cajun. I do a little Cajun. But I don't. This is what I told him, "Brother Smith, I had only been saved for a little while, a couple weeks. This is what I said. I said, I don't know nothing about that, but it's what I do know. My pastor, Bob Smith, said, I'll leave that alone. Because if you don't know nothing about that, you need to leave that stuff alone." So I trusted my pastor that he knew better, because bless God, I was a lost Catholic for 20 years. And if he told me the truth, I think he told me the truth maybe about tongues, so I wasn't going to swallow that. Are you listening to me now? This man's talking about the fullness of the Spirit, and what he was talking about had nothing to do. But let me tell you what I did. This is what I told him. And this is my point right now, Brother Angel. I told him, I said, I want all of it. I want all. And I don't know if you're telling me the truth, but I want all, Barry. But I'm not going to handle what you said. No, I'm not going to get on my knees. You're not going to put your hands on me. There ain't no man put his hand on me. My wife can't. You can't. But I want it all. I didn't know if it was right or not. I just know he told me it was wrong. Are you listening? There are people in this room, you used to craft it and want it and desire it, and now it's just something that we go through the motions. It's like a mechanism. We're like a machine anymore. We come to church, we've got to craft our little King James Bible, tuck it on our arm, come sit down, sing our song, go home! Never change. There's some of you who have not grown in grace one iota in years because of no spirit fullness. So we see that. When we feel full of God, He takes control of everything. This word "fill" is in fullness in the New Testament. It has great usage. I won't go through all of them. Luke 5:26 says, "And they were filled with fear. They were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen a strange thing today.'" Acts 6:5 says, "Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost." Acts 2:4 says, "The upper room, they were filled with the Holy Spirit." Acts 5:3, "Peter and Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" All of these uses of the word "fill" has a connotation of influence, control, and guidance. Are y'all with me today? Let me say it one more time. Influence, control, and guidance. Influence, control, and guidance. So why do we have all these people flopping out and going on somewhere else that, my job is send me. What happened to control, influence, and guidance? I'll tell you what's guiding you. Money. Money. We got people walking out of the will of God so fast to make a few dollars, it's crazy. Freezing up on me again, that's all right. It's truth, man. Never prayed about it. Your company made that decision for you. Influence, control, and guidance. Don't miss this, folks. You are either controlled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, or you're controlled by the adversary. I just read those verses, and that's true. If you don't walk with Him and you walk in your own will, see, sometimes you don't have to do what Satan wants you to do. Just do what you want to do, and Satan is one. You must understand. It's not that you want to do Satan's will. Satan don't want you to do his will. He just wants you to do your will. In so doing your will, you're not doing God's will. And that's what we're full of. We're full of self. We're full of selfishness. We're full of pride. We're full of lust. We're full of pornography. We're full of filth. We're full of everything. I'm not even unkind, folks. That's the truth. You pastored 34 years, bless God. You know what you pastored. Got folks coming and sitting in your office telling you stories, and young people that on Facebook got enough stinking audacity to go live in wicked sin and put it on Facebook. If their face was in the book and in the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't be doing that stuff right there. Amazing. Now, do you understand why people get mad and leave churches? Folks, when I walked into Central Baptist Church, I had hair way down my back. I had a big old beard, long beard. I had one suit to my name that somebody bought me for a wedding. It was a black suit, tribs in gray, had like a gray belt. I had them platform shoes so my knuckles wouldn't grab around. Had a silk shirt unbuttoned right here and that one hair sticking out. Ask Bob Smith back there. When I walked in, the women grabbed their children, the men their wallets. I mean, wow, man, son. God was so happy. It came straight out of the swamps of Louisiana. And he was preaching. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except be agreed? Under the Spirit of God. I've been in those services. I've been in those services. Those two men back there are my pastors. I've been when it got so thick you could cut it with a knife. I've watched God work in a marvelous way at times. And that day, that marvelous day when I got saved. Are y'all listening to me right now? I'm talking about that every time I came into church, that man was on my case, bless God. He was preaching against everything and stuff that I didn't even know was wrong. I was wondering, I said, is he against everything? Can I breathe? Can I breathe? Some of you sissy men ought to cut your hair! I'm a sissy? Nah, that's not what I was. Trust me. Not what I was. Look like a girl! See, some of you offended and you don't even have long hair right now. No, I'm serious. That's what's happened. Brother Sharp's back there weeping. And look, he ain't got nothing back there. He was kneeling down there. He's worse than you, Brother Don. By the way, y'all school you graduated from, Brother Smith, Brother Buchanan graduated from, the fundamentalists. Got the fundamentalists last week. J. Frank Norris's old paper. Inside are girls with hot pants, short shorts with cowboy boots on. Am I telling the truth about it, Brother Coral? You know why? Because the Spirit of God took his flight a long time ago away from that place. Because when you start dropping your standard and getting away from the Holy Ghost of God, that's exactly where you're going. It is a continual life of backsliding. To think about that old man, old Norris, what would he think now? Spirit fullness. And he kept bearing down. And he kept bearing down. And he kept preaching that stuff. And he kept talking about how the only thing I owned was Levi blue jeans and T-shirts. Fishing with Swanson. And boy, he kept bearing down on long hair and attitude and music. And I just started cutting my hair. That's improvement, folks. Some of you ex-hippies say amen right there. Forget it, Brother Petrie. Anyway, start just cutting it a little bit at a time. I was progressing, though, wasn't I, preacher? Were you proud of me? Thank you, sir. Thanks. I love you, too. I cut a little bit more, could he? And then finally, right before my wedding, I got saved 4 months before my wedding, I had a bush boy haircut. I had it down here like this. I was cute, bro. Trust me. I just wish I had some of it back. That's all I want, man. You little compromiser with your little bush boy haircut. Why don't you get your hair cut? Get in with both feet. We thought. Yeah, it's crazy when nobody else there is like that except me. Now, you listen to me, folks. That's the stinking problem, man. When we get preached to, we get offended instead of getting right. And I said, bless God, I'm man enough to handle that. And I just kept changing, kept changing. Finally, I got me a military haircut. Whing. Remember, Brother Smith, I walked in the foyer, he's shaking hands. And I walked right up to him, I said, we're going to preach on today. He grabbed me and hugged me, he said, Keith, God loves you. He said, bless your heart. You know, somebody really hungers after God. They're not going to get offended at that stuff. I just couldn't. And then he left and went in evangelism. I got Dr. Buchanan. Lord, help us. The Texas tornado comes. The first, I think one of the first services, he gets a Good News for Modern Man or NIV. What was it, Doc? Preached on the King James, and he slams that thing down on the, I mean, and when he did, that thing stood up on his end like a demon. Didn't it, Doc? And then he jumps on the communion table and starts stomping it with his cowboy boots. I said, this man's crazy. He's crazier than Smith. Didn't offend me a lick. They were my two buddies. They were my two buddies when I was a deacon. And I was a right deacon, wasn't I? Thank you. I love you too. I'm simply saying that, bless God, you know, we got to get back to the point where our laymen hunger after God as much as preachers do. Now, let me give you the grammatical implication tonight, and I'm through. I want you to notice be filled. Look at it one more time. Look at it, please. Be filled. In the Greek language, it's a command. It has great meaning. Number one, it's plural in number, which means it's for everyone. That's what I'm trying to say. It's present intent. It means it's this continual action. It's not a one-time thing. There's preachers that actually preach that this filling is a one-time thing. It is not a one-time thing. It's present tense. It's a continual action. It's not a one-time thing. It's passive in voice, which means that the subject does not do the acting, but it receives the action. Being filled with the Spirit is not something we do. It's something we allow Him to do. We just do the receiving. We do the receiving because we are receptacle and we've met His condition. Are y'all with me now? So it doesn't have to be preacher flesh. I found that out a long time ago when I was trying to reach my football team, Christ. It doesn't have to be preacher flesh. It has to be burden flesh. It's about hunger flesh. Hungering after it. Wanting it more than anything in the world. Wasted life. 20 years of waste. Why would you want to waste another day? However, you're not to be passive in the attitude about the experience of the fullness of the Spirit of God, understanding that we must allow Him to accomplish what He wants to do as we meet His requirement. And lastly, let me say this quickly. It's imperative. It's an imperative mood, which means it's command. Can I get an amen right there? A command. I didn't write it, folks. I'm like Dr. Robinson. I'm just preaching it. And I'm preaching it as a command. If it is a command, let me ask you a question. Do you feel the Spirit of God? If you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you ought to be on your face tonight after Dr. Coral preaches, saying, "Dear Lord, would you please help me get this thing straight in my life? I'm tired of going through the motions and just being a nominal Christian. The reason I'm not doing more for Thee is because I have nothing to do. I would know what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God." Dr. Green, we don't know how to do it anymore, how to hunger and thirst and then cry out to God and then feel that fullness. Me too. But sometimes you've got to pay the price. Some of us paid prices a little bit too high. But you've got to take time out. We're so busy doing everything else. We're so busy trying to impress people at times. Wanting to be liked. Like me on Facebook. Who gives a rip? Like me on Facebook. Want to be liked. Preachers wanting to be liked. Politicking. How about just hungering? Once again, somewhere, somehow, just getting along somewhere and finding a place where nobody disturbs you and get on your face and say, "Dear God, I've got to have your power. I've got to have you. Please do something in me and for me and through me. You've got to have it, please." Get in your Bible. Pray about it. Watch God do something in your life. And then when we go win souls and knock doors, God will crush those men's hearts. And when we preach, God will crush those men's hearts. I said to a preacher this past week, and I say it to the glory of God, we've had one Sunday in 34 years we didn't have somebody saved. December the 26th, 2012. One Sunday in 34 years. Now, that's not bragging on me. That's bragging on Him that the Spirit of God dwells. And if I don't come to, if I come to the pulpit empty, I sure got some laymen that got Him. Say amen right there. Sometimes we need some of our staff and some of our laymen sometimes to take care of the preacher sometimes when he's had a bad week and maybe he's coming to the pulpit cantankerous and he ain't got the Spirit fullness. But for God to save souls every week for 34 years and baptized for 34 years except for one Sunday, that means somebody has put his hand upon a ministry. And is blessing it to some degree. I'm simply saying that it's a command. It's not an option. You're either filled with the Spirit or you're in direct disobedience to the command of God. The grammatical implication is this, or this verse is this. All of us should always be filled with the Spirit all of the time. Boy, I didn't get nothing there. I didn't get nothing there because I said, "Oh, me, myself." I said, "Oh, me, myself." If you drive down the interstate in Chicago, you're not always filled with the Spirit of God. I'm filled with ignorance. I've got a sissy truck now. Brother Edwards bought one of my big old 350 diesels. Brother Sexton bought my other 350 diesels. And I decided to go gas finally for after all these years. I bought me a sissy truck. I bought me a Ecotec V6 white, limited Ford. I call it a Prius truck. The sissy truck. I want my big trucks back. I really do. I want big bumpers. And you know, if somebody gives you some hassle on the interstate, you just run over them. Ain't no Spirit of God in that. But I purpose to do that every now and again. I'm just simply saying, folks, listen, you're not going to click all the time. The reason you have your family's falling apart, sometimes your marriage is falling apart, your attitude toward the preacher, your attitude toward other Christians. The reason we've got actual churches where this brother over here is so stinking mad at this brother over here, they will not speak, and you can feel it in the services. No Spirit fullness. No Spirit of forgiveness. No Spirit of reconciliation. No Spirit of any of it. It's sad. Because we can get it right just as simple as can be. How many souls will wake up in hell because of powerless Christians that fail to win them? How many marriages will fail because of the sin of not being filled with the Holy Ghost? How many teenagers will end up wrecking their lives because they're not filled with the Holy Ghost? Brother Terry, why in the world do we feel that people got to be 21 years of age before they'll wake up, start reading their Bible, and be filled with the Spirit? We can go to the Scriptures and show these folks how there are young people in the Bible that had God on them as much as anybody. Hey, teenager, look up here. What's wrong with you? I'm just wanting to be cool. Won't you want to be filled? Now you're going to be teased. You're going to be called Billy Bible. You're going to be called a lot of other names. Well, what God is doing is getting you ready for the ministry. But if you become a God man and you're filled with the Spirit of God, you'll be called a lot of things. I've been called a lot of things. But I've been called a lot worse by better than you. So what? Names. Names. Names are offending. Are you kidding me? How many pastors will end up out of the ministry because of this sin? Not the sin of adultery, not the sin of embezzlement, not the sin of heresy, but no Spirit fullness. I'm closing. I got to quit. How many preachers we have talked to, they're discouraged, they're going to quit. I'm not talking about retire. There's some of us need to do that. I'm talking about quit. Just quit. The problem is not anything else except if they just get alone somewhere and get God on them again. I've been in those services. I've felt the Spirit of God so thick. I've seen Him move. I know what He can do in hearts. And yet sometimes we won't give Him time to do that in conferences like this. We're having shorter conferences, shorter revivals. And it has nothing to do with not us being willing, brother. We can't get the layman out. They're too caught up with the entanglements of the world. We can't even get out. We won't even have a good meeting. The great day of Pentecost came. These men are not drunken, as you suppose. Are you getting me now? I mean, just go ahead and run the Scriptures. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. The only thing I can conclude is they seem like they're pretty well drunk. And some of you think that, some of you preachers, y'all go crazy. Y'all jump around, y'all scream, y'all like a bunch of drunks. That's exactly right. Spirit fullness will cause some of you, normal people, to think that some of the spirit people are weird. This is why we go to people and talk to them cold turkey about their soul, because of spirit fullness. Look at it one more time. I'm through and I'm going to pray. Be not drunk, but be ye filled. Don't do that. Do this. And if you do this, you're going to kind of act a little bit like that. My Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. A lot of things I could have said and needed to say that I didn't say. But I think I said much of what you wanted me to say. And Lord, to think that sometimes we go week after week and month after month without really knowing that we're filled is something that we'd better get right. Things are closing in on us. Our society is absolutely collapsing around us. The economy is absolutely going to crush this nation one day and shock everybody. And yet we have powerless Christians that seem like they just don't care. They're riding the storm out, hoping that the rapture would take place pretty quick instead of occupying until He comes. I pray that you keep us in business. Pray that you keep us filled. Dear God, have us, please, to obey this. May you bless Brother Coral as he comes in just a moment. And I pray, Father, please, that you would be pleased to bless the service, continue the service. And Lord, would you please fill us? God, please fill us. Help the laymen here to understand how important they are. And we've got to have them full. Please. In Jesus' name. And amen.